Welcome in-house and online. Y'all welcome the online people real quick. Isn't it cool that we have that online thing and have all these volunteers and all these people that are so good at running it? I talked to Tucker Teague this morning. He's in Colorado, going to be on there watching. He can still do his job, and he's working and all the things up there with his family. And y'all give a round of applause for all the tech team, video team, and music team. So we're still in our deal moments. It's pretty cool. I don't know how much y'all been loving it, but I've been digging it. We've gone from Genesis all the way to Revelation almost, and I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about the Bible. I've learned a lot about some cool moments that kind of tie into my life and hopefully yours. And we're going to stay in moments today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and then we'll pray. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth." Verse 33, "In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the river, or down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then when they both had came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this place that we get to come and worship and grow and learn and be close to you, God, to bring our families to this place. We thank you for the nice AC. We thank you for the new building. But God, I thank you for these families and everybody represented here today. I thank you for this word that you've given me. I thank you for first service and all how good it went, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with this service as well. I pray that you would speak through me. Every single word that you want me to speak and each way that you want me to speak it through this thing that you've given me, Lord. And I just pray that you would be glorified today, and that hearts will be challenged, moved, and grown, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who is Philip? We need to know who Philip is. Philip is this guy, one of the seven. They also known as Philip the Evangelist. He was one of the seven who was picked to help the early church. As the church was growing in Acts, y'all can go read this week, do a little study time in Acts chapter 6. And it talks about how they needed more people, more disciples, more workers. The church is growing. Things are happening, and they need more people here and more people here. And this Philip guy is one of those men that was chosen for that reason. But at this time, I want you to know there's a persecution going on against the church from Saul. The church in Jerusalem, Stephen, has just been stoned. Families are being drug out of their homes who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord, and they're being put into prison. It's a wild time. There's some crazy stuff going on. So who is Philip? Philip is just this obedient man. He's just this obedient man of God amongst danger, amongst killings and death and prosecution going all around him. Not no little Facebook messages, not any mean stuff on Instagram, not all that stuff like that. Some serious stuff is going around while this guy's trying to push the gospel, while this guy's trying to be obedient to the Lord, and this is who Philip is. And the scripture says that an angel tells him, "Go to the road toward Jerusalem." It says, "Get up, go to the road toward Jerusalem and Gaza." And I was looking at that and studying about it. It's like 50 or 60 miles from Jerusalem to Gaza. Like, that's a long ways. That's a long way to travel with no car or no horse or whatever that looks like. And the first thing I want you to see is that he got up. He just went. He just said yes. He wasn't worried about it. He didn't know why the angel told him to. The angel didn't tell him why he was going. The angel didn't say, "Well, God said this." He just said, "Go and go toward that road. Just go down that road." And the second thing I want us to see is that he wasn't worried about it. He wasn't worried about what was before him because he believed and had a relationship with the Lord, and he'd been spending time with the Lord. And obviously, he was called by the Lord because he was one of the seven that was picked. And so he was hearing from God. God, and he knew in his discernment that God had called him to go do something, so he wasn't worried about what was in front of him because God already had something out there that was prepared, and he just said, you know what, I'm just going to go and be obedient. That's what I was put on this earth to do. I wasn't put here to get rich. I wasn't put here to get famous, but I've been called by God, Numbers, one of the seven disciples. I'm just going to go and see what God has prepared. And I just wish that I was this way and wish I could say that I was that way, but I'm not. And many of you sitting here today can agree with me that you're not either. It's just not natural. It's not natural for us to think, I'm hearing from God. I better go do this. I better drive all the way from Guthrie all the way to Anson or whatever that is in your life. It's not natural for us to think that way. But we got to get to a place where we're renewing our mind and we got to spend so much time with God and less time with the world that when God does speak to us, we need to be able to know how he speaks to us. He's going to speak to these people different than he's going to speak to me. He's going to speak to Marley different than he speaks to me. It's going to look different in all of our relationships with God, just like my relationship with Hayes is going to look different than Bones' relationship and his kids. It's just going to look different, and we got to know God and we got to know how he speaks to us so that when he calls us, we can go. I wish I was that away, but when I was felt like I was called, I got asked to go speak at this men's deal one time. After the men's deal, I'm talking like every other week or every month, somebody else was calling for me to come speak after I went that one time, and I didn't really like it. I was pretty nervous, and I'm on the phone with Cody, and I'm talking to him, and I'm studying him on the line and all the stuff, and I'm doing all these things, and I'm sitting here. I feel like the Lord's called me. I know that it's some of the things that I say and some of the things that I do that my dumb self couldn't do alone, and I know that something's different, but I remember I would always try to figure out, well, what's it going to look like here? What's it going to look like here? And I was trying to figure these things out. And this whole time, Cody was, you know, I was calling him, and it got to a point where he was like, look, I think you need to uproot your family. I think you need to step away from your full-time cowboy life. The Lord has called you to greater things, and I want you to come over here. But I wished I was like Philip and just got in the car, got to pack the bags, bought the house, did the things. I didn't. All of our phone calls look like this. Hey, Cody, I'm worried about not having a job. Hey, Cody, I don't know if I can buy a house. Hey, Cody, my old truck is pretty old. It's probably going to break down if I have to day work a bunch around there. Hey, Cody, my wife is freaking out about leaving her comfort zone. Hey, Cody, the ranch won't sell me my best horse. Hayes isn't going to have a horse to ride when we move over there. Hey, Cody, I'm just scared. All these things that the enemy was putting in my mind and wearing me out with when I was out there on that ranch doing my job, the enemy was telling me, you can't go, you can't go, you can't go. And here on the other side, the Lord is like, if you'll just listen to me, I'm going to show him things through the scripture. I have things prepared for him, things that he can't see, things that he don't know. If he'll just listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And how many of you know the enemy doesn't want you to step into those things? So the enemy's going to wear your mind out. The enemy's going to tell you you can't go. The enemy's going to tell you you can't own your own place. The enemy's going to tell you that you can't do this and you can't do that. So you got to figure out who you're listening to. You got to have so much time and so much stuff wrapped in up in God and relationship with God that you can decipher between the two who's speaking to you. And so every time I would say all those things to Cody, he would usually say this, Coley, I don't know what to tell you, son. The Lord has transformed your heart, transformed your marriage, and now he's calling you to a greater thing. If I were you, I'd quit worrying about all that little BS, and I'd just get over here and start trusting that he who started a good thing in you will fulfill it to the end. And so him giving me that push, him giving me that thought, man, I just felt like a grizzly bear. I thought, you know what, Marley, we're going, we're leaving, we're getting out of this camp. I'm not going to worry about this stuff. Can I just say, one of you in here today might be somebody else's breakthrough. Whoever's coming to you, telling you, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I need to do this. Maybe a tired, wore out single mother, or maybe a jacked up marriage, something. You could be somebody's breakthrough. You can be somebody's push. All they need is just one more little shove, one more little push to the other side, and then you can be a part of something great that God has worked in their life, and maybe they'll go on to raise a family or to do whatever they're struggling with. You could be the push. I just wonder how much me and you miss out on. I wonder how many things in my life, looking back on my life, and I try not to do this very much, but I see times in my life where I could have done something better, where I could have done something to help these people or something to help my marriage or to help my child or whatever that looks like. How much do we miss because we just worry and doubt? You know, we're big enough to say, yeah, I believe in the Lord. I'm going to come down here in front of everybody. I'm going to get baptized on the big fun baptized day. But how many of us are big enough to stand up in the middle of a battle and be like, no, I know I can do this. I know I can get through this. These scriptures that I've learned, I don't know about you, but I have a few in my mind that when the battle comes, when the enemy comes, I just start speaking them out loud in my pickup. And I just try to drive them down his throat. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Romans 8:28, all things works for the good who love him. Jeremiah 29:11, he has things for me to prosper me, not harm me. I know these things. Not because I want everybody to think I know scripture, but I want them to know, I need the enemy to know that I can whip him, that I can beat him, that my God's already over defeated him, and I can walk through this thing. When Jesus went to the desert, he whipped the enemy with the word of God. We got to know the Word of God. The only way to know the Word of God is get your butt up and read the Word of God. Philip wasn't going to miss out on a shot to do something for the Lord. He wasn't going to miss it. The angel said, get up. He said, okay, let's go. He just started walking. And I love this next part, point blank. It's kind of funny that the angel put this in here and that it's in the scripture. Out of nowhere, it says, this is a desert place. I'm like, the sunbuck grew up there. He lives there. He knows it's a desert place. Why do you think the angel's telling him it's a desert place, son? Well, I got to thinking about it, and I try to relate everything from then to now in my life. He's like, this ain't no air-conditioned church I'm about to send you to. This ain't right around the corner that I'm about to send you to. You're going to have to walk your butt off to get down there. It's 50 or 60 miles. And God, yeah, I'm the angel, but God didn't tell me where you're going to meet him. You may have to walk 59 miles and then find this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, there was no highway. There was no car. There was no water. It was hot and dry. I don't know about y'all. They didn't have no BlizzTex, probably. I can't live without BlizzTex. These lips get chapped. I'm done. But do you see? God might not always send you. He may not always send you to a comfortable place. He may not always send me to a comfortable place. I mean, Anson, Texas, Lord? Really? He could have sent me to Arizona. That's where I wanted to go. But the matter of the fact is that he may not be sending you to a comfortable place, but he may be sending you because you're the comfort for that place. He may be sending you because he's going to use you. You may be the room temperature changer up there in your school that's jacked up. You may be the room temperature changer up there at your locker room or whatever's going on in your life. You may be the guy that he's sending to change it. And then if you'll just say yes and go and just trust in him and trust that he'll do these things through your life, then you get to walk away knowing that I just got used by God. It's an honor to be sent by God. Not everybody gets to be sent by God. Not everybody gets to be called by God. Don't bow up. I'm just saying, he ain't going to call and use you if you don't know the caller. If I get a phone call and I don't know the caller, I'm not going to answer it. You got to spend time with the Lord so that when he does call, you can answer the dang call. You got to know the Word of God so that when we go, when he calls, we can go. So he goes. He doesn't know what he's going for, but he's just going. Like, man, I said, I got up in front of the church. I got baptized. I'm going to seek the Lord. Now he called me. I'm going to go. He's really going to go. And how many of you know, I don't know about y'all, but in my life, right before the breakthrough, I almost gave up. I mean, like, I thought, he ain't listening to me. My prayers ain't working. I ain't doing something right. It was something I did in the past. Some stupid stuff. The enemy starts wearing you out. Give up, because he doesn't want the Lord to work in your life. But how many of you know, right before the end, right before it's something you can't handle, the Lord comes through, right? I feel like he was walking like, God, I could be in my bed. This is a long dang ways. Lord, please speak to me. I need a drink of water. Oh, I wish I had some BlizzTex. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like right before he got there, boom, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, get in that chariot. You see that chariot? Go get in it. And I feel like right when he was about to give up and right when he thought he was, maybe I'm not called by the Lord. Maybe I'm not supposed to be working for the Lord spoke to him, said, get in that chariot. I bet he's like, woo! Yes! I'm glad I didn't quit. And all y'all always telling me to slow down, chill out, don't go fast, don't ride fast, don't do this, don't do that. I'm over it. Just like I told y'all about David and Goliath, he ran to the enemy. Well, guess what? Actually, verse 30 says, Philip ran to the chariot. Some of you suckers need to start running to the fight. Run into where God sent you. You can get there faster, do a job for the Lord, turn around and then go to another job and begin that job. Just start running, moving your feet, paying attention, head on a swivel. So now we need to know, who's he getting in a chariot with? Who is this guy? Who's he getting in there with? Well, it was an Ethiopian. It was a eunuch, a court official. They'd usually been castrated. In Cody Cochran's terms, he had no cojones. Especially because they were trustees in high-ranking positions that worked with women and their finances in the royal courts. He was a Gentile. He couldn't have any family, couldn't reproduce, couldn't have no more children to raise up the next generation. He believed in God, but they were excluded from the participation of temple worship. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that it was hard for a eunuch back then to love and serve the Lord and grow a relationship with the Lord and get his hands on the Bible and on the Word of God. But this creates this picture, see? It creates this picture through Philip that God wants everybody to have a shot at knowing him. God wants everybody for somebody and everybody to have a shot to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants that to happen for everybody. 1 Timothy 2:4, God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So no background, no disease, no disorder, no bodily disorder, nothing exempts you from being able to seek and search the Lord out with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. And no one around you, nobody who's watching you walk your faith, nobody. He wants everybody to come to it. So Philip, he jumps in this chariot. He's riding shotgun. I feel like he bails up. He just heard from the Lord again, y'all. He bails in there. I bet he wasn't like, hey, how are you doing? I feel like, what's up, man? What are you reading? I bet he woke the situation up. This guy, you know, I feel like the eunuch has been traveling a long ways. It's a long ways from where he was going to where he was headed. And I feel like he had his old horse going at a good walk, had his head pumping. Kind of like maybe a Tennessee Walker. We had a Tennessee Walker at Morehouse's when I was a kid. We'd go packing. His name was Squire. Ugliest thing you ever seen in your life. But, I mean, this sucker could pull a buggy good. But I feel like he had his head pumping. I feel like that horse has been a long ways. Had the lines wrapped around the peg there in the front. For you city folk, the lines. When you drive a wagon and you drive a chariot, it's called the lines, not the reins. I feel like he had the reins wrapped around the peg. Maybe had him a cold Topo Chico stuck in the cup holder there. And he was just riding along, reading the Word of God. And I don't know, I've thought about this whole time preparing for this. I wonder if he stole it, because he ain't supposed to have it. I wonder if he just took good notes like me on Sunday when Cody's preaching. Or I wonder if he was, I just wonder how he got it. I wonder how he got the Word of God, but doesn't matter, he was reading it. But he gets in there, Philip gets in there, and they're just doing simple things, guys. Simple conversation over the Word of God. They're just visiting. Philip's like, hey man, you know what you're reading? I mean, this happens all the time. We'll be in the office, and Cody will spit something out about a verse, and I'm over there, he's over there just, telling this verse, and I'm over here looking it up. I ain't never heard that story. Like, it's just simple conversation. It's simple stuff. They're just talking about the Lord, but it created this moment that in the world's eyes, this guy couldn't have Jesus. In the world's eyes back then, this eunuch, he wasn't supposed to be able to serve God or worship God or grow with the Lord. He wasn't supposed to, but through God and through an ordinary man saying yes, the Lord sent him, and it created this moment for this guy to know Jesus. And it also created another moment where God used just another ordinary man to do something great in the kingdom of God. Just an ordinary man. Before he got called out of the seven, I feel like he just woke up early, made him some coffee, kissed his wife goodbye, went to work, came home, played with his kids, played in the dirt, played trucks, trailers, whatever, drank coffee at night, ate supper, cooked a steak, went to bed. He was just an ordinary guy. An ordinary guy, and he got used by God. And my favorite thing about it is he didn't have to make it awkward. He didn't have to make it awkward. All he had to do was listen to the Lord, listen to the Spirit, listen to all the things, and just show up. The Lord had it prepared. He didn't have to sit around and think about, how am I going to set this up to where it's not weird? How am I going to do, how? He just had to say yes to the Lord, and the Lord prepared it. I don't know much, but I know this. A simple yes may change your life. Three letters. It may change your life. We work our butts off to change our lives for money, for jobs, for raises, to be this guy up here on the ladder, whatever it looks like in your life. We kill ourselves to change our life. But one simple yes to God could change your daggum life. It could change it. You got to learn the Scripture. You got to know the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:9, 1 Corinthians 2:9. It's no eyes seen, no ears heard. We can't imagine, it says. I'm walking in that. I don't want to imagine it. I don't want to know it. I want to wait on it. Because you know what? When I send Hayes over here to go stay with Wesley Jackson, who I work for, I'm not sending Hayes over there hoping Wesley feeds him, hoping Wesley gives him water, hoping Wesley doesn't let him watch bad stuff on TV, hoping Wesley doesn't cuss around him. But he usually does cuss around him, and he's quit that. And I don't send my son to a bad place, right? I send my son to a place that I know is prepared for him to learn and grow and be okay. Your Father in heaven is no different. He's not going to send you somewhere that you're not ready for. He's not going to send you something where you're not ready to take on whatever he's sending you. And whatever he's sending you to, it's already prepared. I remember a couple years ago, I told this first service, Cody had a big old ladder up here, big old tall sucker. Did a series on it about our, you know, we get saved, we start right here, and then after we get saved, that ain't where it stops. And then we grow a little bit, and then we work here, and you just keep climbing the ladder. That's our walk with faith. We just keep climbing the ladder so God can use us and believe that he's got it prepared. But do you realize how fun and how cool it would be to just be like Philip and just trust in God and every day just say yes and go, yes and go, yes and go? Because let me tell you, every time that God lets you be a part of something in the kingdom, it grows your faith. When you're old and you die, if hopefully we all live to be old and die, your faith ought to be way bigger than it was when you started on the first step of the ladder. our faith should be bigger. Why? Because we ought to be doing things for the Lord. We ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be growing people up in the Lord. That way, every time he lets us be a part of everything that he wants us to say yes to, our faith grows a little bit, and then we feel like we're doing something in the kingdom of God, and all the glory goes to him, yes, but you and I get to walk away knowing that I just got used by God. He can use you, and he can use me to be a part of great things, and those things are already prepared if we would just believe those things. Just believe that it's prepared and go. All of us in here love when things are prepared. Last night, Marley and I and the boys went and ate supper with Cody and Jennifer, and he's real,
don't show up at my house at 6 o'clock. This ain't the Wagner Ranch, and this ain't the Four Sixes. You better not get here until 6 o'clock.
I'm like, why?
I don't want you to mess my cooking up. I want to have it ready, all that.
You know, he's a cooking son of a gun. So I'm sitting up there on the hill at 5:55, and he texts me, just come on. I was like, oh, never mind. Anyway, it was nice to walk in there to these big old steaks ready and the sides that Jennifer had cooked. It was just nice. It's nice to go in and something prepared for you. We all love it. These babies, all these babies that are being born in here, we don't get to form them. We don't get to tell the Lord how we want them to look. We can pray and ask for these things. I prayed that Hayes would be good looking like his daddy, and he is. But, you know, like, for real, we don't get to see that. We don't get to see that till it comes out, but it's prepared for us, and we love it. We love when those babies come out. We love it. It's already prepared. All he needs to do to fulfill his plans is somebody who ain't worried about all the what ifs and what all the unknowns. All the what ifs and what unknowns. And how many of you know it's better for us to go and fail than it is for us not to go at all? Because either way, you're going to learn something. If you miss it and God didn't tell you to go there and you screwed up your discernment, you're going to learn from your failure. And it's going to grow your faith. Okay, I know what that sounded like. I read it wrong. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. But then if you go and it works, you got power. You got power inside of your mind. You're excited. You just got used by God. You're ready to go. Anybody can sit still and say no, but not everybody can run to the unknown of man, not the unknown of God, but the unknown of man. Not everybody can do that. But if we'll quit just sitting here and if we'll quit just worrying about and depending on what man says and what man has told us and what all this stuff says that we're reading or hearing on the social media or hearing in the news and all these things, if we'll just start relying on the Word of God and how we do that and how we start standing on the Word of God is to get in the Word of God, wake your butt up and read the Word of God. Then when you're walking through this life and you see things out through your vision, you can tie it back to the Scripture that you know and you can stand on top of it and it will give you some power, it will give you some trust, and you can fight through whatever you got going on. And if you're not fighting anything, it'll give you power to walk out what God wants you to do. But you got to know it. And we've got to share our faith. It's simple invites to church. Simple invites. Just all the time I'm inviting somebody. It actually blows my mind. Like, a lot of people, they don't come because they didn't get invited. You know what I'm saying? They go where mom and dad always went, and they go every now and then or whatever. But someone my age, usually if I invite them, they come. And I think it's just not because of me or anything like that. I think it's just like, well, hey, that was kind of cool. I'm going to go over there. They got two services, donuts, coffee, whatever. Whatever gets them here. Just if I invite three and you invite three and everybody starts inviting three, I don't have very good Guthrie math, but this place would fill up, and that's our job, right? To show more people the Lord, to show more people a walk with Christ. A place to come where it's safe. A place to come where they can worship. A place to come where they can lay it down. A place where they can find like-minded people or people who are going through what they've gone through. It's our job. It's what we're supposed to do. And then when we do those things, we'll see that he truly does and truly will use you and me. And he'll get the glory, but you and I get to walk away fulfilled and filled up because we just got used by God. Not used by your manager, not used by your boss, not used by your friends or whatever, but by God, the one who created you in his image, the one who knew you in your mother's womb, the one who does have plans for you to prosper, not plans for you to fall back. He's got things for you. That's the guy who wants to use you. He wants to use you in spite of everything, in spite of my life, in spite of 28 years, living lukewarm here and there, getting off and getting on, all the things, leading my family into a trap, chasing the worldly desires, all this stuff. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. He's not worried about your Saul days. He's more worried about about your Paul days. He's worried about after you went into the waters of baptism and after you said yes to God. That's what he's worried about. He's worried about using you right now. He's worried about using you in your new life, in your new spirit, in your new mind, not the old you. So stop worrying about the old you. And when I finally started laying that down, when I finally stopped worrying about that, he told me the same thing as he told Philip. Look, get up. Get out of this old ranch life. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about what you're comfortable about. Don't worry about all this stuff that you're worrying about. Quit listening to the enemy and listen to me. Go south on 277. There's a crazy preacher down there that you've watched your whole life, that you grew up listening to, that you grew up studying. And every time that you went over there when you were 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, out throughout your college life and your high school life, and you were over here living like a son of a gun, and you would go down there because you got convicted every time when they had the altar call, and you'd fall down on your knees up here and you'd bawl like a little titty baby because your mother raised you better, and you would get up here because there's power over here. And he would send me and he said, just go. Don't worry about all that stuff that you don't know about. I have it prepared for you, so just go. But the reason sometimes people go is because people push people. Cody pushed me. Quit worrying about all that. Quit worrying about the horse they wouldn't sell you. There's horses all over. Quit worrying about a house. Quit worrying about insurance. Quit worrying about your pickup. Just come and serve the Lord. He's going to serve you. He's going to help you. I have this CD. How many of you know, remember these CDs? Raise your hand. Everybody that raised their hand didn't have no hair on their head. I'm just kidding. So this CD, on the sides it has 101 North Commercial Avenue, Anson, Texas. The phone number, and then www.bethelanson.org. Pastor Cody Cochran. And the title of it is The Power and Potential of a Regular Man. And it says Cody Cochran, and it's January 1, 2009. I was 17 years old, and it just began my little wild life, my little wild streak, being an idiot. And I run into Caleb Rice, Connor's brother. And Caleb wasn't worried about Caleb. Caleb was worried about those around him. Caleb is and was a disciple. Caleb works out in the fields. Caleb works out outside these doors. Caleb, that's his gift. He can talk to somebody one-on-one in the chariot. He can serve them, love them, speak to them, grow them, give them power, give them, man, this guy loves giving somebody else a little bit of love and a little bit of power. And I don't know for sure if when he gave me this CD when I was 17 years old, this may be the only reason that I'm not in hell today, but I wore this thing out. When I would go and live that life of away from God, I would put this thing in my truck and I would listen to it in the mornings or in the evenings by myself in high school. I had a red four-door Dodge, and then I had a Toyota Camry in college that I rode Bronx out of, and I'd put that thing in there. It's got holes in the back. I played it so much, but every time I listened to it, I cried. And every time I listened to it, I was convicted. And every time that I listened to it, I believed that there is power and there is potential in a regular man. And what Caleb Rice showed me that day, and what Caleb Rice, all he did was just sharing his faith a little bit. It did something in me. And did it take a while? Yes. But did it do something? Yes. Because now today I know that I am called, and I know that God was working on me back then. And I'm not worried about all the people, and I'm not worried about all the things, and I'm getting better at not worrying about what I can't see. I'm actually kind of getting a little cocky and a little bit excited about going somewhere and not knowing everything, because I want to see what God's going to do. We need to all get there, but it's by sharing your faith. It ain't always about me. It's not always about you. You may be somebody. You may be the Caleb Rice. You may be the Caleb Rice that just grows somebody. It took years, but had he not given me that CD, I don't know where I would be or what I would be doing. It's simple things that we just need to start doing. Is it scary? Yeah. But it's so rewarding, and doors will start opening up for you in your life that you could never see. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eyes seen, no ears heard, no heart of man can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. If you don't know verses, and if you don't spend time in your Bible, and if you're not that guy yet or that girl yet, at least just learn this one. Just learn this verse. And then start saying it to yourself every day. When you get in your car to go to work, when you're brushing your pretty little teeth, just start saying this thing. Because when you start saying it and you start reprogramming your mind and you start going and going hard for the Lord and you start believing the scripture that's inside of you, and when it comes out of your mouth and has been in your heart, things will start changing in your life. Darren, if you'll come, I'll close her down. Please. I'm going to close with some personal things today. I really didn't want to do it like this, but Cody kind of encouraged me to go this route. And my main reason that I didn't want to is because I didn't want you guys to think I don't want y'all to ever, like don't think that me and Marley got it figured out and got it going on in the kingdom of God and all those things, because we don't. We fail every day, and we need to get better every day. But every time we say yes and go to the Lord, our faith grows a little bit more, just like yours will. And we aren't better than anybody else, and we still fall short of the glory of God, and we always have to come back on our knees and ask for forgiveness and all the things that everybody's got to do. But I just hope that these stories will encourage you, to share your faith, will encourage you to do what God's called you to do. Now, I'm not like, look, don't be weird. Don't go down here to Stanford at Walmart and try to give your testimony to every guy or girl that walks in. Don't be stupid. Don't do that. But use your discernment. Use your discernment that comes with the Lord. Use your discernment that comes with following the Lord. Who to share with, who not to share with, when to speak, when not to speak. Working on that one. I mean, for real, though, it's powerful. And what you're going through, it may not be your marriage like mine, but whatever you're going through, someone else is too. And you may be the push on the other side just because you're sharing your faith. It's simple. And most importantly, the glory is going to go to God, but also it's going to grow your faith. I want faith. I want more faith. I want to feel unstoppable in the kingdom of God. And a lot of you know, man, if you know me before Bethel, I tried everything in this world had offered. If you can name it, I probably did it. Do I like it? No. Do I wish I could change it? Yeah. But that wasn't where my struggle was. That wasn't what held me down, and that wasn't what got me under the rug. What got me under the rug was, and what taught me about my Savior and where He could work in my life and where He could use an ordinary man, was through my marriage. When I saw Him, if y'all could see our marriage before now, and it ain't perfect now, but guys, we were jacked. But it was such a miraculous thing and a change over two encounters that we just had to share. And I feel like the Lord, I told you on the barn, the Lord said, go get your wife so that I can use you two as a unit for Christ. And I feel like this is all I talk about. But you know what? If this is the season that God wants, all He wants me to talk about, I'll talk about it every dang day. Because look, I'm going to share a few letters that people have sent us. And like, since that first day that I gave my testimony at the men's deal in Quanta, Texas, I have all these letters. I don't even know how many. My Facebook is wore out from them. I haven't even read them all. My Instagram is wore out. Marley's messages. And dang near every one of them is someone we don't know. From Canada to in the States, I'm talking people everywhere. And one of these letters I'm going to read you, I do know this person from high school, but the other two, I don't know. But after we went and shared on Betsy Sprayberry's podcast, Totally Wild, Wildly Seen and Totally Loved, these things started coming in, and I'm telling you, when you start reading some of these things people are sending that you don't know, it'll give you a drive, and it'll give you something to wake your butt up to and read that word. It'll make you chase what God has for you. It'll make you pay attention to what's going on, and it'll make you say no to the crap that you used to say yes to in this world. Because people are counting on you. God put people around you not for you just to love them and look at them and hang out with them. He might put you there for you to be the comfort in that place, for you to be the life changer in their life. There's hundreds of these, but here's three. Hey, Cole, just wanted to reach out and let you know I appreciate your obedience to the Lord. I've been watching from the sidelines your story unfold in the last several months, and it's awesome. I watched your first day to preach at Bethel, and then have seen some other videos and stuff of you sharing your testimony, and it's powerful. I've known for a long time that I need to be a better husband and a better father, and I felt that the Lord working on me through this, and your story has been a major part of it. I have known the wild and crazy side of Cole from a long time ago, and I can relate to those days as well in my own life, but I just wanted you to know I'm proud of you, buddy, and just wanted you to know that you're doing a heck of a job. Keep bringing the fire. Marley, I know that you have no idea who I am, but I have been immensely blessed by you. I had to take my daughter to Fort Worth for her annual appointment, and for whatever reason, I decided to click on Totally Loved. I just clicked on that most recent episode, and it happened to be you and your husband's story. I cried my eyes out the entire trip. I could relate to so many things that you said, and part of your story, I felt like I was telling it myself. Thank you for not only having the courage to tell your testimony, but to see it the way that you just see it is admirable. I feel like you taught me so much in the hour and 20 minutes of that podcast. You make me want to be a better person. Thank you for your vulnerability and transparency, praying for continued blessings over you and Cole. Hey, Cole, I know you don't know me, but I feel like you need to know that this impact of your testimony has been on my life recently. My wife and I have called it quits and split up, and I've never felt so broken and lost in my entire life. I'd taken all my social media down, and I needed to get back on Instagram to get a picture that I needed. And when I opened it up, the first thing was you and your wife's testimony with Betsy Sprayberry. After hearing it, I went and found my wife, wrapped my arms around her, and prayed harder over her than I'd ever prayed before in my life. To the point that we were both in tears, and we're not where we need to be still today, but we have broken the ice, and I feel like the path has been laid before us. Your testimony helped God to seek counsel from godly men, which I would have never, ever went and done before and had the courage to do. I just want you to say thank you for being open with the big audience to share what God has done in your life. So we're not the only ones that go through these things. It's everybody. It's the same world. Nothing, you know, the Bible says nothing's new under the sun. The bottom line is, today, we need to stop doubting. If you came up here one time in your life and you said, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you've been baptized and you've done all those things and you've got up here in front of your people, then it's time to start walking that out. There's more to it than just saying I believe in it. And wake up and know that He's God. He ain't going to fail you. I'm not going to send Hayes where he don't need to go. God ain't going to send you where you don't need to go. So what are you doubting? What am I doubting? Just because it's from God too does not mean it's going to be easy. Philip was a tired sucker when he got to that chariot, I bet. Sunburned, no bliss text, thirsty. God wants to use us. He wants to use us. And I wrote this down. 3 days ago, I wrote this down. I said, God wants to use you and push you to do hard things so that you can show yourself what you're made of through God. And a few hours later, I got a call that said, hey, Mom wants you to do her funeral. And my mind immediately was like, oh my God, I can't do a funeral on Saturday and then come up here and preach twice today. I'm not Cody Cochran. You know what I'm saying? My mind was like, I can't do that. And then all of a sudden, I remember them dang verses I stand on. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can go. God has things prepared. He will give me a sermon for that funeral. He will be with me when I speak there. I can go. Just say yes, and He's going to take care of it. He had it all prepared over there in Guthrie yesterday morning when I got there. Reset your mind so that the first thought is yes. Yes, I believe in you, Lord. Yes, I can go. Three letters may change your life. Yes. Tattoo them on your forehead, on your wrist, something. Yes. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about the unknowns. If you know you're called, don't fight it for so long. Cody told me all the time, just keep pushing it down. Keep shoving it down, you little. I can't say what he called me, but he's like, just push it down, run from it. It ain't going to stop. It ain't going to stop chasing you because it's not your decision. Your calling is not your decision. Help grow the church. Fill heaven up. That's what we're here for. Help grow the church. Invite some people to church. You're constantly around people. Let's invite them. Let's get them here. Let's knock the wall out. Let's do something else. Let's, whatever we got to do. But then just keep it all about Him and not about us. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have upon my life and the things that I don't deserve, Lord, and I thank you for sending me, and I thank you for giving me the courage to say yes, Lord. I pray that you would do the same thing in these people here this morning. I pray that you would give them a fire inside of them, God, that they have never felt before. Lord, I pray that you would give them the boldness to just say yes to those things, God, that maybe not even for them, but for their neighbor, for somebody that's next to them, Lord. That way they can walk through that thing, working for you, and then walk away from it with the power and the joy, knowing that, man, I just got used by my Savior. I just got used by God. Thank you, Lord, for those things. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for always letting us work for you. Thank you for always making opportunities for us. Thank you for all the things that are prepared for everybody in this room, God. Thank you, Lord, thank you for not telling us. Thank you for not telling us everything so that we got to just trust. so that we can renew our minds, so that we can become stronger men and women for the Lord. So that we ain't got to know everything, because the only thing that we need to know is that we're saved by you, God, and your blood, and we can walk through anything that the enemy tries to throw at us, and we can do anything that you've called us to do. So that's all that we need to know, Lord. Help us to simplify our brain and all the stuff that's inside of it that tells us that we can't go. As soon as the enemy tries to cut it down, God, I pray that you would give them strength to cut him down and cut him down with the word of God. Lord, I pray that you would wake these people up this week as they would open their Bible at their kitchen table and begin to study, Lord, to study the gospel, to study what you've done, to study the things that you did and the things that you'll do through us if we just get in there and know the word so that we can stand on the word of God. So that we can take what we're weak, God, you're strong. Lord, just help us to believe. Help us to believe more than just coming down here and saying, I do believe in you. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell, but Lord, make it more. Make it more inside of us so that we will go and work for you and not for this old world. Speak to everyone in this last song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.